our love. Increase our love to the prophet. Increase our love to the prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
This is a whole silsila focused upon one basic fundamental theme, which is love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Love for the best of creation, learning about his life, his beautiful character, his beautiful habits, and through that what we learn about him, trying to act upon that and implement that in our lives as well. The first segment that we have in this silsila is called biography. And in that we discuss the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We take one particular incident from his beautiful life and we have a discussion regarding that, see what we can learn from it, and also try to increase our love for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam through that as well. The second segment we have is called Behind the Kalam. This is that segment where our viewers of Madani channel who love listening to naats in praise of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this is an opportunity for you to hear some of those famous kalams, but in English language, the meaning behind them, and some of the meanings that can be derived from those beautiful words. And our last segment today in the silsila will be Hadith of the Week, where once again you're going to get the opportunity to hear a beautiful hadith epoch from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was narrated from him, and inshallah our muballighin will discuss what we can learn in light of what the scholars have written from that blessed hadith as well. But as always, my dear Islamic brothers, we start with recitation from the Holy Quran. Inshallah azawajal, we're going to listen to some recitation from the holy and the beautiful Quran, then we're going to hear a kalam, and then inshallah azawajal, we're going to crack on with our segments for today.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر صدق الله العظيم.
The silsila is loving the beloved. The topic, the whole emphasis of the silsila is Ishq-e Rasul, and our segments that we have, alhamdulillah, three segments in this silsila. Inshallah azawajal, we're gonna now move towards our first segment in this silsila. And our first segment that we have in this silsila, alhamdulillah, is around the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. This segment, alhamdulillah, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, we talk about one particular highlight, you could say, one aspect of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we're not going in any particular order, we're picking one particular, you could say, segment, one aspect of the seerah, and we talk about that in some detail. Inshallah, so I'm going to go towards Mubeen bhai and ask him what we're talking about today, you know, which aspect of the seerah.
Today's topic, Hussein bhai, as you mentioned, is the migration, the hijrah, to the land of Abyssinia that took place when some of the companions, the Sahaba al-Kiram, they left the land of Makkah al-Mukarramah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Migration, because last week we talked about migration as well, and you could say that was the big migration from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwara.
Migration
you're talking about is a different one.
Yeah, I was just going to say that when we hear the term hijrah, when we hear the term migration, most people, most Muslims, they think of the famous migration, the major migration from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwara. But that wasn't the only migration that the Muslims undertook during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, before that migration, the migration from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwara, the Muslims, a few years before that, a few years prior to that, some Muslims actually traveled and migrated after the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah al-Mukarramah to the land of Abyssinia. So this was actually prior to the migration to Madinah al-Munawwara.
So in terms of timeline, Ilan-e-Nubuwwat, in announcement, proclamation, you could say, of the Prophethood was at the age of 40, the Qiyam of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. From that moment onwards, how far is this in the timeline, this migration from Makkah to Abyssinia?
Yeah, and after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam proclaimed Prophethood, as we know, because this was something which was against the people of that time, the leaders of Quraysh, the Kuffar, the polytheists of that time, because obviously, and the message of Islam was one of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Tawheed, and the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling to an end to idol worship, to polytheism, and also because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was preaching attributes such as truth, honesty, stopping people from cheating in their business transactions, calling people away from vices such as alcohol and other things which were eating away and ravaging society. Because of this, what happened was that those disbelievers, those who thought that, you know, this is going to cause a detriment to our own personal benefits that we have out there, to our status, our wealth, etc., business. Because of this, they started to oppress and they started to even torture those people who accepted Islam at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Even though some of them were family contacts, family relatives, still they were
members of the same tribe.
Some of them were major personalities. Basically, prior to their acceptance of Islam, they would have been people who were respected within the tribe and
by their own people. Yeah, so the background,
the high status.
Just to answer your question, this continued for a period of approximately 5 years.
Okay.
And so 5 years after the proclamation of Prophethood, when the oppression and the torture and the torment reached a level which was, you know, like they couldn't bear it anymore. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave permission and announced that the king of Habasha, the king of Abyssinia, is a generous man, a noble man, who doesn't allow anybody to be oppressed in his land.
Sure.
So whoever wishes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed his Sahaba and said, whoever wishes should migrate to that land. So in the fifth year after the proclamation of Prophethood, it's stated that according to these different narrations, some say 11 men, some say 12 men, and 4 women amongst the Sahaba al-Kiram, alayhi wa ridwan, they traveled to the city of to the land of Habasha, land of Abyssinia, and they took refuge there and they stayed in peace and security for approximately 3 months.
Achha. So in terms of numbers, a relatively small cafila, you would say, maybe 15, 16 people.
Yeah,
Ahmad Bhai, just to get your input, so the background to all of this was persecution. And if we look through the seerah from the moment of Ilan-e-Nubuwwat, you know, the early Sahaba who came and the way they were treated, the background to all of this is persecution, mistreatment of the Muslims.
Persecution, you know, persecution and at a major and a big level, not minor or small amounts of torture. For example, the very famous story of Sayyidina Bilal, radiallahu anhu, we hear, you know, the way he was tortured, to the extent that he says that he was made to lie down upon boiling coal, you know, without any clothing. And eventually, the fat that melted from his body when his body was burning, that would put out the coal and the fire on the coal.
Allah Akbar.
You know, that would be...
and that's one example. And over the 5 years, like Mubeen Bhai was saying, there were many examples of this mistreatment.
It is actually stated about Abu Jahl that he would, when he would hear that somebody has accepted Islam, he would go to them and he would threaten them. And he would, you know, if they were a rich person, if they were a businessman, he would threaten them that, you know, your business is going to go down. I'm going to make sure that happens. And if they were poor, he would torture them.
And this, I guess, being by your point, very important point here, that why was there such a shift change for them? And the people who were meeting out this persecution, why were they so brutal? Why were they so cruel? Because like you said that, you know, Islam did not come just to amend one part of life. It was not just about worship. Islam came with a whole complete way of life and a whole complete way in which society was to run, that you can't persecute the poor, you can't abuse the poor by charging them interest, you can't mistreat your women, you can't mistreat orphans. So this whole complete beautiful way of life was a complete shift change for them, and that's why they found it so difficult to
deal with. That time, before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and enlightened the world with the Noor of Islam, that time is called the time of Jahiliyyah, the age of ignorance. And it's called that for a reason. I mean, to the extent that people would even bury their own daughters alive at that time. This is, you know, the depths that they had sunk to, and the darkness.
Simply because they were daughters and not sons.
Yeah, because they thought that, you know, because of this daughter, you know, so and so is going to speak about me, so and so in our tribe is going to speak bad about us, mm-hmm. and because of this, you know, we'll be put down in the community. And just for, you know, petty reasons like this, mm-hmm. they would commit murder of infant children. That's something which is unthinkable for us today.
So the background is mistreatment and persecution.
Yes.
And you said that in the fifth year after Aylan and Nubuwwat, the migration happens to Abyssinia, about 16 maybe.
Approximately.
Companions.
That's right.
Maybe 11 men, 4 or 5 women. Acha, just before we move on, Abyssinia is not a name we recognize today. It's probably not even on the map these days.
Yeah.
So when you say Abyssinia, what do you mean?
Abyssinia is an ancient kingdom.
Okay.
And the title of the king of that particular land was Najashi.
Okay.
This was a title, like Caesar is a title, like Khosrow was a title.
Okay.
It wasn't the name of the particular mm-hmm. Emperor, this was his title. And
Abyssinia is that place where I think modern day Ethiopia,
Eritrea,
where those countries
and Eritrea
are.
So it's not a land which exists in the same way that it existed at that time. Nowadays it's Ethiopia and parts of Eritrea, which covers that same land.
Okay. So the Sahaba, the companions, they travel in order to seek safety and to live in relative safety.
To be able to practice their deen
and
properly.
Practice their religion openly. Okay, so they arrive in Abyssinia, and you said mentioned 3 months. What happened after 3 months?
Yeah, so in those 3 months, they lived in peace and security in Abyssinia.
Gee.
And then what happened was there was a false rumor that was spread that the Quraysh, the leaders of the disbelievers of the time, who had initially been oppressing the Muslims, there was a false rumor that was spread about them that they had accepted Islam, and now the situation in Makkah al-Mukarramah was one of peace and security, and they could now return.
Yeah.
So the majority of those who had migrated, they actually returned to Makkah 3 months after the initial migration. But obviously when they got there, they realized that the rumor that they had heard was actually false.
Okay.
And the leaders of the disbelievers hadn't actually accepted Islam, and the situation in Makkah al-Mukarramah was the same, if not worse.
If not worse than when before, then they left.
Than when they left. Okay. And it's narrated that those individuals who migrated, when they went back, they saw that the believers that they had left behind, the other Sahaba ikram, they were still being oppressed, they were still being tortured, they were still being attacked by the disbelievers.
Yeah.
And those who had returned from the migration to Abyssinia, they were subjected to even greater persecution. Because it was said to them that you left and you tried to attain security, and now you're back, and now we've got you under our control, and we can do whatever we want with you.
Mm-hmm.
Those particular individuals, those particular Sahaba Kiram and Ridwan, were persecuted even more.
Okay.
Because they had migrated and then returned. So because of this, in the sixth year after the proclamation of Prophethood, the following year, because the oppression had increased, the persecution had increased, now the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam again gave permission to a greater number of Sahaba Ikram to migrate. And it's narrated this time, in the second migration, the following year, in the sixth year, after the proclamation of Prophethood, 83 men and 18 women migrated to Abyssinia.
To the same place.
Prominent
names in this second migration that happened, people who
overall, in the migration to Abyssinia, the main Sahaba that were involved from amongst them, one personality that stands out is Dhul Nurayn Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. And he traveled along with the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom he was married to. And that is the question. I'll try not to leak out the name.
So, the reason why Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu was given a beautiful title, Sahibul Hijratain.
MashaAllah.
Which means the one who migrated twice.
Twice.
Because
so
not
he
only
migrated from in Makkah to Abyssinia, and then also
from Makkah to Medina.
Even Makkah to Abyssinia he did twice, because he was with the first time round, and then when obviously when certain companions, when they came back and they decided to settle despite knowing that the rumor that was going around was false. But then eventually when the prosecution once again it only got worse, so then they decided to go back, and Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu was one of those as well that went back. So he came back and then he went back again, so he did he actually migrated twice in that sense to the same place.
They went there having heard that the king of this land is very just, and they went there maybe with the hope of practicing religion safely. What happened when they arrived? I mean, what was the expectation met?
When they arrived, there was some very prominent Sahaba Kiram who were amongst them, including Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu.
The brother of
Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And along with them, there was also Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, one of the Ashra Mubashara, as we know.
One of the 10 great Sahaba who were promised Jannat in their lifetime.
In fact, from the Ashra Mubashara, there were 4 Sahaba who migrated to Abyssinia. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, as we heard. Sayyidina Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. Also, Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu
anhu.
And the fourth one, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu
anhu.
So there were actually 4 of the 10 companions who were promised paradise from the blessed tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Imagine the quality of knowledge and jazba and wisdom amongst that ghafla.
And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam obviously sent them out with a mission of representing Islam. So obviously these were, you could say, all of the Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan were stars, as we know, from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But these were, you know, those, you could say, the most glistening or enlightening stars from amongst them, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
We mentioned so far the that the hijrah was done twice. We have to keep in mind that it's not a simple or an easy journey like we would have in mind today, when we get on a plane or train or coach or something. It was a very long testing, and obviously you can tell the Arabian side of the world.
In them days, you know, comparing to today, it was a very difficult day.
And in particular, those areas which are very hot.
Weather, and also from looking at the books of history and the books of Sirah, generally there was always the threat of being mugged during a journey, you know, and people should, in order to avoid that, you should travel at different times of the day, you should travel in big groups.
If you think about it, they weren't going on holiday.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they were traveling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were leaving everything behind. Mm. They were traveling.
The place they called home.
The place they called home, their family members, any businesses that they may have established, literally everything, the place they had grown up, they were leaving everything behind. Why? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also gives us an idea, a glimpse into the sacrifices that Sahaba kiram ayyuhum ridwan were willing to take for the sake of Islam.
And to protect themselves and their families. And you know, I guess that story is very relevant today as well.
It is.
Having to leave a home in circumstances.
And it's only because of their sacrifices, because of them traveling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Islam, that this deen reached us in the form that it reached us.
Absolutely.
In the pure and pristine form that, alhamdulillah, we have Islam today. It's because of their sacrifices.
If we compare the two sides, one side was that severe torture. And what were they asking in return? This torture would stop if you just deny Islam.
Just say these
few words, Al-Ma'adallah, I reject Islam, I denounce, and I do not believe in Allah and His Messenger, Ma'adallah. These were just few words that they wanted them to utter, but obviously they were, the companions, alayhim ridwan, they knew better, and they were of that mentality that I would give my life up, but I won't give this religion up.
So, in Abyssinia then, they're in this place, and they've heard about this king. What happens there is extremely interesting, and the viewers of Madni Channel who are watching right now, this story and this incident and this conversation you're going to hear about is amazing, it's beautiful, and honestly, this will strengthen your love for Islam, for deen, and your love of knowledge as well. Just listen to what happens when they arrive.
It's a great proof of the truthfulness of Islam and the purity of the revelation.
MashaAllah.
When the Quraysh, the leaders, the enemies of Islam, when they realized that there's approximately 100 people who have traveled from Makkah, those who have believed in Islam, who have took Islam at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they've traveled to Abyssinia and they're living at peace, they're safe, they're secure in that land. Obviously, they weren't too happy with this. They thought, you know, they've escaped our oppression. Mm. They're living at peace, they're living safe and security.
Yeah.
Now, how can we let this happen? So they came with a plan. And they said that what we'll do is we'll send some of our leaders, we'll send some envoys. And what we'll do is we'll send those envoys or ambassadors with gifts, with presents, with luxurious items from Arabia to the king of Abyssinia, Najashi, which was his title, and also the priests that surround him. Because he was somebody who believed in Isa alayhi salam. He was a believer of Isa alayhi salam, the revelation of the Injil.
Okay.
He was a follower of that tradition, that religion. So they thought that would go to those priests, those scholars of that religion, and we'll go to the king of that land, and we'll take these presents with him, and we'll say that these individuals have escaped, they're rebels, who have rebelled against our forefathers, our religion, the religion that we follow of idol worship. And what we'll do is, when we give these gifts, and we say that these people are rebels, we'll request that they be handed over to us as captives, and we'll take them back and continue oppressing them.
So kind of a double approach. We're going to soften them up with loads of gifts, and then say to them, look, these people are rebels and run away from us, send them back to us.
Yeah, so basically they belong to us, so it's it's our right that we take
them. So they went with a plan.
Yeah,
did the plan work?
When they approached the king, obviously, and as we heard, because this king was very just. Now, normally when you have given a person some gifts and then you ask him something, he feels obliged to actually pay you back in some way.
Mm.
But obviously, being the just man that he was, Najashi, he said that, I want to call the Muslims to my court and I want to hear their side of the story as well. I want to hear what they say, because obviously it's fair enough, you're saying these things, because obviously, as we've heard, what they were saying, they were trying to make the Muslims as though these are the people who are causing mischief in the earth. So the king requested for the Muslims to be brought into his court. Now, when the disbelievers, they had gone into the court of the king, they had prostrated before the king and they did sajda in front of the king. When the Muslims went, and obviously in particular the person who had they had nominated as to speak on their behalf,
like a spokesperson,
Sayyidina Jafar radiallahu anhu. So when he went, and he did not do sajda to the king, obviously he was actually told off by the people around him, and he said that the Holy Prophet ﷺ has ordered us not to do sajda to anyone except.
So I'm moving by here. So the Quraysh people, some of the Quraysh have gone to Najashi and they made their case. Najashi didn't make a decision at that point.
He didn't.
Okay.
What he did was, because he was famous for his for giving people protection,
mm-hmm.
he thought that I've given these people protection,
mm-hmm.
and I will never judge a case, especially about those who I've given refuge to,
mm-hmm.
without listening to their side of the story.
I've only heard one side of the moment,
the
Quraysh and what they've had to say. He therefore said in his mind, I want to give chance to the Muslims to put their side of the case to me.
And then Sayyidina Jafar radiallahu anhu, he began to speak. And
he called the Muslims and he says,
So he gave the Muslims a chance to speak after basically the envoys, the ambassadors of the disbelievers, after they had basically said to Najashi that these people are rebels, they're foolish young people, and they've rebelled against our forefathers and our religion, and they've invented a new religion, which is not Christianity, it's not your religion, it's against your religion, and it's against our religion as well. So he was basically saying that they're enemies to us and they're enemies to you as well.
Okay.
So Najashi wanted to find out the truth. So Sayyidina Jafar al-Dilam was a very eloquent man.
Mashallah.
And he was blessed with a beautiful tongue and a beautiful way of speaking. So he began to talk about the beauty of Islam and the state that the people of Arabia were in before Islam and how Islam had transformed them. And he began to speak and he said, O Najashi, we were a people in a state of ignorance and immorality. We worshipped idols. We ate dead meat without slaughtering it. We were committing all sorts of sins and immodest actions. We would break the ties of kinship. People would treat guests badly in our society. And the strong amongst us exploited and persecuted the weak. We remained in this state until Allah Almighty, until our Lord sent to us a messenger. And because of this messenger who was amongst us, whose lineage we knew, we testified to, whose truthfulness, trustworthiness, and integrity were well known to us. We knew of this person, this messenger that was sent to us, who we believe in now. We knew of him as a truthful individual, as a trustworthy individual, as a man of integrity even before he proclaimed prophethood. And he continued and he said that this messenger who was sent to us by Allah called us to worship Allah alone and to renounce idol worship, to worship the one true Lord only. And then he listed the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you could say these are the essential teachings of Islam. Today, if you want to summarize the teachings of Islam, when presenting Islam to anybody, presenting Islam to whether it's amongst Muslims or even when presenting Islam to others, it would be good advice to follow these particular points that Sayyidina Ja'far said. Very, very short and sweet.
Short and sweet, but eloquent and jami at the same time.
Yeah, so he mentioned these points. And sometimes we think about Islam and we think, you know, Islam is very vast, Islam has a lot of rulings. Which are the main aspects of Islam? And you could say that because the Prophet ﷺ at the beginning, when preaching the message of Islam to the Sahaba Ikram, he obviously focused on the most essential aspects of Islam.
Absolutely.
And when they were going to preach Islam to others, when they were going to present Islam, they would obviously present the most important and essential aspects of Islam. What did he say?
And from that statement as well, which you mentioned already, this is where we were.
Yeah.
Then came towards the messenger and he taught us this.
Yeah, so
within a short space of time, he's explained, you know, the revolution, in a sense, within a few words.
So what were those teachings? He said that the Prophet ﷺ taught us and commanded us to speak the truth.
SubhanAllah.
Number one, to speak the truth. Number two, to keep our trusts.
SubhanAllah.
When someone entrusts us with something, to keep that trust. Number three, to be kind to our relations. Number four, to be helpful to our neighbors, to fulfill the rights of our neighbors. Number five, to refrain from all forbidden acts. Following on, to abstain from bloodshed. To avoid obscenities and not to give false witness, not to devour an orphan's property, nor to slander chaste women. These were the basics of Islam that he presented.
Now, and essentially, qualities of somebody with good character.
With good character,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if somebody wants to assess themselves as to whether or not they are a good Muslim, and whether or not they are following the essentials of Islam. Obviously, there are many other aspects to Islam as well that we have to look at and we have to obey. But this is, you could say, in terms of a Muslim's character, in terms of a Muslim's social conduct, how we should present ourselves and how we should deal with those around us. And because, Najashi was somebody who knew about the teachings of Isa alayhi salam, he knew about what revelation was about,
yeah.
He knew about teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the previous revelations, he realized that this is exactly the same teachings that Isa alayhi salam had come with previously. And this echoed the same teachings that the priests or he himself were trying to establish in their society and in their community and in their kingdom as well. So when he heard this, he thought, you know, these people aren't people who are causing mischief or causing havoc or causing trouble in the society. Rather, they are people who are rectifying society and causing peace and harmony to be created in their society. So what he said was, he actually asked for a recitation of the Holy Quran. He said that these teachings are very beautiful. If you say that the messenger has amongst you is reciting revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same Lord, the Lord of Isa alayhi salam, who revealed the Injil, then why don't you recite some of that revelation to me so I can hear it? Then Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu anhu, he recited, look at his wisdom. His wisdom was such that he knew that this is an individual who has love for Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, who has love for the mother of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Maryam radiallahu anhu. So which surah did he decide to recite? He decided to recite verses from Surah Maryam.
SubhanAllah.
And when he recited those verses from Surah Maryam, the effect, the efficacy of those words, the beauty of the story of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, his blessed mother Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu anha, the beauty of that story and the way it was eloquently quoted in the words of the Holy Quran, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the final revelation, Najashi began to cry. He began to weep.
An effect on him.
To such an extent that his beard became wet with tears.
SubhanAllah.
And not only Najashi, all of those in the court, the priests, those who were educated in the religion of Isa alayhi salam, who were educated in the teachings of the Injil, they also began to cry. And when the envoys from Mecca, and the ambassadors from the disbelievers, when they saw this, the effect that this was having, and the fact that their plan was not working, the tactics that they had come with, unfortunately for them, those tactics were not working, they thought of another plan. What was that plan? They thought that what we should do now is, we should say to them that the belief of these people about Isa alayhi salam is not the same as your belief.
This is a last-ditch effort. Everything else hasn't worked.
Yeah.
Let's just try this somehow to get to...
So they tried to change their tactic, and this was a, you know...
And they could probably see that, you know, the words of Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala, they were having an impact on,
they were,
on the king.
They were, no doubt. So what? Now they came with another from another angle. They attacked from a different aspect. And now they said to Najashi that why don't you ask them what they actually believe about Isa alayhi salam. And you'll see that their belief is not the same as you. And they thought that when those beliefs are expressed, and obviously Muslims don't believe that Isa alayhi salam is the son of God. We believe that Isa alayhi salam is a chosen prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not the son of Allah azawajal, ma'azallah. So they thought that when this would be revealed, now Najashi would kick them out and send them back.
Mm-hmm.
But on the contrary, when Najashi asked this question about Isa alayhi salam, it's narrated that Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu anhu, he said that we believe in Isa alayhi salam as a Ruhullah. We believe in him as Kalimatullah. We believe in him as a chosen messenger of Allah, somebody who was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with miracles. And the way that Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu anhu describes Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam in the light of the teachings of Islam, when Najashi heard this, he said that I swear by Allah, this is exactly what we believe in about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. In fact, he said that what you are teaching us, the revelation of the Holy Quran, the message of the Holy Quran, the teachings of your Prophet, what you believe in about Isa alayhi salam, this and the revelation that we have with us, the teachings that we have heard about Isa alayhi salam, these teachings come from one source of light. They come from the same source of light. To the extent that he even said, he picked up a splinter and he said that we believe in everything that you believe in about Isa alayhi salam, and not even one splinter more. Not even one grain more than that do we believe
the
about Isa alayhi salam.
The words of the Quran had upon him. Huh? What amazing. Where did it start? Some of the Quraysh must have thought to themselves, you know, we've got this one box, we're taking gifts, and we've got all of these arguments, and sometimes, you know, you think to yourself, I'm going to win this argument by delivering, you know, the killer punch, as they say. And they probably thought to themselves, when we say to the king what the Muslims say about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, you know, naturally he's going to be on our side. But look at the beauty of the Quran, Mubin, right? The words that were revealed. And also the knowledge and wisdom of Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala and the Muslims. Because knowledge is one thing, but wisdom, knowing what to say and when to say it, that's a whole branch of knowledge in itself.
And this was the power of the Quran that the Sahaba kiram they harnessed. They knew that the Quran is our source of success wherever we go. Meaning that wherever we go, we have the Quran with us. If we have knowledge of the Quran, we are able
that's
to express the teachings of the Quran, we will be successful in every sphere of life, in every field of life. And as Muslims today, one thing that we can learn from this story is that we too need to study the Holy Quran. We need to study the teachings of the Holy Quran, the message of the Holy Quran. We need to take that message on board ourselves and become ambassadors of the Quran and preach the Holy Quran in our societies around us. And when we are able to do that, when we know the power of the Quran, we know the teachings of the Quran, we implement the Quran ourselves and teach the Quran to others, then we will see that as Muslims, wherever we go in the world, we will be successful and we will achieve success, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah, mashallah. Beautiful summary of this whole incident. And I said to you at the start, my dear viewers of Madinah, this conversation that happened on that particular incident, it's an amazing conversation. And for us as Muslims, we should read this time and time again. It will strengthen your faith. It will strengthen your belief, and it will make you even more firmer that alhamdulillah, our religion that we follow is a pure and beautiful and peaceful religion.
Just one more point to actually add on to that is what happened after this. What happened after this?
MashaAllah. We've got about 5 minutes, so if you can tell us where this ended, and then we'll take some concluding remarks.
So, obviously, after having heard all of this, Najashi actually he said that this is the same prophet that you're speaking of, who you're saying is your prophet. He's the same prophet that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam had prophesied about. He had told us about in the Injil that a prophet is to come after him. And if I did not have these duties of handling this kingdom and my duties as a king, I would have personally gone and seen him. And then he recited the kalima and he accepted Islam. So he became a Muslim. And now another beautiful sort of a point to keep in mind in terms of the connection with the Prophet ﷺ and with Islam and the love for the Prophet ﷺ is that, as we heard, every king that became a king of Abyssinia at that time, he was given the title Najashi. But now when somebody says Najashi, automatically that particular king comes.
Some concluding remarks from you, maybe by then we must move on.
I just wanted to mention that Sayyidina Ja'far had an amazing role in this particular incident. Later on, he was a preacher, he was a muballigh in Abyssinia. He was a representative of Islam. And later on, when he returned many years later, back to the court of the Prophet ﷺ, what was the reaction? How did the Prophet ﷺ embrace him and welcome him? It's narrated in Mishkat Sharif. It says that the beloved Prophet ﷺ, when Sayyidina Ja'far ibn returned, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تلقى جعفر بن أبي طالب فالتزمه وقبل ما بين عينيه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم welcomed Sayyidina Ja'far رضي الله عنه when he returned, to the extent that the beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم hugged him and kissed him between his eyes.
Subhanallah.
Can you imagine the beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم welcoming someone in such a way that the beloved, the blessed lips, the blessed, delicate, fragrant lips of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم are kissing between the eyes of Sayyidina Ja'far رضي الله عنه. And on this occasion, what happened was some of those who had migrated, they left Abyssinia when the Prophet ﷺ migrated from Makkah to Al-Mukarramah to Medina to Munawwara, and they joined the rest of the Muslims in Medina. But Sayyidina Ja'far stayed as an ambassador, a preacher of Islam, and he only returned on the occasion of the victory of Khaybar, which was sometime later, the Battle of Khaybar. And it's narrated also in Mishkat Sharif that on this occasion, the Prophet ﷺ said that, I do not know whether I am more happy at the victory of Khaybar or the return of Ja'far bin Abi Talib. I don't know which one I'm more happy with. The Prophet ﷺ was obviously overjoyed at the victory of Khaybar, and he was overjoyed at the return of Sayyidina Ja'far after his successful period.
What is the shan of that person about whom the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is making such beautiful comments? And you know, being by you, we're just talking, you could stay here all night and just listen. And you know, this is the point we're trying to get across to the viewers of Madni Channel, is that, you know, the seerah is beautiful, honestly. Trust me, it's the most beautiful story you will read. You know, the sad thing is that we got time to read all sorts of other stories and trilogies and, you know, book compilations and stuff like that. But it's very sad if a Muslim has not found time in his life to read the seerah. Because I promise you, every time you read it and every time you come across a new incident, it strengthens your faith and you'll just think, and it'll just revive you. You know, sometimes you get lazy in certain things. You know, you hear a bayan and you got passion regarding namaz, Quran and all these things. And sometimes that dips. It's a natural thing, isn't it? Up and down. You know, when you hear things like this, you think, alhamdulillah, how lucky we are to be Muslims. How lucky we are to be followers of this.
When it comes to other stories or other things that people unfortunately waste their time in, stories or novels or whatever people
made
are
up,
into.
Made up, fiction.
Yeah, fiction.
Yeah.
What happens is you read it once. If you read it again, you're bored of it. You know what's going to happen. So you're reading a particular page, and because you know what's going to happen in the next chapter or on the next page, you put it away because you're bored. Yes. You know the story already.
Yes.
But when it comes to the Holy Quran and when it comes to the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, even if you've heard the story before, even if you've read the entire seerah before, when you read it again, there's new pearls of wisdom that
Absolutely.
Come out to you.
Absolutely. I mean, how many times have the brothers and how many times have we heard this story? Every time you hear it, it puts a smile on your face.
And there's something new that you learn from it.
Subhanallah.
You know, based on what you're going through in your life at that particular time, what stage of life you're going through, there's different pearls of wisdom.
Sorry, interrupt you there. I think we've got, alhamdulillah, fantastic news. Rukne Shura, Haji Abdul Habib Attari, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya. I believe they are with us, or they will shortly be with us, via telephone call, mashallah. Mashallah, Hajza, welcome to our silsila.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. How are you, brothers?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Aap sunaye, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah, nice to see you, mashallah. Madri channel live English mein tha. Meri asal mein yahan recording chal rahi thi. Hum ek naya silsila record kar rahe the, to aapke director ne catch kar liya hame ki usko pata chal gaya unko ki main studio mein hoon. فرمایا کہ آپ یہاں آ جائیں اور دعوت اسلامی نے کمال کر دیا کہ اسٹوڈیو سے نکل کے میں پی سی آر میں آیا تو گویا یو کے پہنچ گیا ہوں آپ کے پاس. ماشاء اللہ, نائس ٹو سی یو برادر. بیوٹیفل ٹاپک, ماشاء اللہ, بہت بہت خوبصورت بات آپ نے کی کہ سیرت مصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, امیزنگ ٹاپک. یعنی جب پڑھیں ایمان تازہ ہوتا ہے, اور نبی پاک علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کے بارے میں بینگ اے مسلم بیکاز یو نو ہم نے نبی پاک علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کا کلمہ پڑھا ہے, آقا کے امتی ہیں, اور پیارے آقا علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کے بارے میں بد قسمتی سے بہت تھوڑا جانتے ہیں, مگر سرکار علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی جو ہسٹری ہے, میرے آقا علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی جو سیرت ہے, اس کو جتنا جانے نا, جتنا پڑھیں زیادہ محبت بڑھتی ہے, ایمان تازہ ہوتا ہے. سرکار علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی بیوٹی کے بارے میں بات کریں, نبی پاک علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی سیکریفائس کے بارے میں بات کریں, صحابہ اکرام علی رضوان کا جو لو تھا, جو پیارے آقا علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام سے جو وفاداری تھی. اب یہ جو میرا خیال ہے آپ کا آج ٹاپک شاید فرسٹ ہجرہ ہے,
فرسٹ مائگریشن.
مائگریشن, ہاں. اب اسی کو اگر آپ پڑھیں تو آپ نے ماشاء اللہ بہت ساری چیزیں ڈسکس کی ہوں گی کہ کتنا ڈیفیکلٹ ایرا تھا وہ, کتنا ڈیفیکلٹ ڈیفیکلٹ وہ دن تھے کہ جب نبی پاک علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کے ساتھ صحابہ کرام تھے, لٹل کوانٹیٹی تھی اور کتنا ظلم تھا, اور پھر اس کے باوجود اپنے وطن کو چھوڑا مگر نبی پاک علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کو نہیں چھوڑا. ایمان کتنی ڈیفیکلٹی کے ساتھ صحابہ کرام کو ملا. آج ہمیں کوئی کہے کہ اپنا وطن چھوڑ دو ایمان کے لیے تو کتنے لوگ چھوڑیں گے, ہمیں تو گھر بیٹھے ایمان ملا ہے. لیکن یہ جو فرسٹ مائگریشن ہے اٹس اے بیوٹیفل ایگزامپل کہ نبی پاک علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کے ساتھ اٹیچمنٹ کیسا تھا صحابہ کرام کا, ان کا ایمان کتنا اسٹرانگ تھا. ہم سب کو اپنے اپنے جس کو کہتے ہیں ایمان کو اسٹرانگ کرنے کی ضرورت ہے, نبی پاک علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام سے محبت کی ضرورت ہے اور بڑھانے کی ضرورت ہے. محبت تو ہے مگر اسے اس ایکسٹریم تک لے جانا ہے. اور ماشاءاللہ ابھی آپ بات کر رہے تھے مبین بھائی, مبین بھائی کو پہلے تو میں دیکھ کے حیران ہو گیا, ایک دو دن پہلے تو ہمارے ساتھ تھے ماشاءاللہ, اسپیڈلی پہنچ گئے ماشاءاللہ وہاں پر. تو مبین بھائی بھی جو بات کر رہے تھے بہت خوبصورت, کہ وہ انہوں نے کہا کہ اسٹوریز ایک دو بار پڑھیں تو انٹرسٹنگ ہوتی ہے, لیکن آپ جب بھی فرسٹ مائگریشن پڑھیں, پھر جو بگیسٹ بگ مائگریشن تھی فرام مکہ ٹو مدینہ, سبحان اللہ, آپ فتح مکہ کی بات پڑھ لیں, تو آپ مطلب نبی پاک کی سیرت کا کوئی بھی واقعہ اٹھا لیں, وہ ایمان ہی تازہ کرتا ہے, ایک نیا جذبہ دیتا ہے, بار بار سننے کو جی جاتا ہے. سبحان اللہ, کیری آن, میں انشاءاللہ آپ کے ساتھ ہوں اور آپ کی پیاری پیاری باتیں سن رہا ہوں انشاءاللہ.
ماشاءاللہ, جزاک اللہ, الحمدللہ, ویری بلیسنگ فار آور سلسلہ, الحمدللہ. I would request in the Bargah of Rukneshwara, and ultimately our whole aim is in this to discuss the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to increase our love. And you know, as Rukneshwara was talking, I remember there's a beautiful shair that teri surat teri sirat زمانے سے نرالی ہے, تیری ہر ہر ادا پیارے دلیل بے مثالی ہے. That, you know, you study every single day of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you would find fragrance and khushbu and so many things to learn in everything. Alhamdulillah. Mubin bhai, mashallah, you summarized beautifully for us. Inshallah, we're going to move to our next segment for this silsila. And the next segment for this silsila is Behind the Kalam. My dear my brothers and viewers of Madni channel, you'll be thinking to yourself, what is he talking about when he says behind the kalam? You know, we've heard lots of times kalam and reading kalam and hearing kalam. One thing that we identified was, alhamdulillah, our youngsters, especially in the UK and in English speaking countries, we have a natural attachment to beautiful poetry in praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and much of that poetry is written in the Urdu language, especially beautiful kalam written by Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman. So this segment that we have every week, we pick one kalam of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat alayhi rahma, and our Naad Khan Islami brother is going to read it for us, and inshallah we're going to, from our muballighin who are here, try to understand some of the meaning behind this kalam as well. And because alhamdulillah Zikr-e-Madina, we are in the blessed days when Madani Qaflas are traveling towards the blessed city of Madina. With that in mind, our kalam today, or written by Ala Hazrat, penned by Ala Hazrat, is relating to that same topic as well. So inshallah, you'll be interested to hear which kalam. I'm going to ask the Naad Khan Islami brother to start the first couple of ash'ar, and then inshallah we'll listen to the explanation of some of them as well.
صلی علی نبینا, صلی علی نبینا, صلی علی محمد. شکر خدا کے آج گھڑی اس سفر کی ہے, شکر خدا کے آج گھڑی اس سفر کی ہے, جس پر نثار جان فلاح ہو ظفر کی ہے, جس پر نثار جان فلاح ہو ظفر کی ہے, فلاح ہو ظفر کی ہے.
So just a bit of background to this kalam was written by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman, when he was traveling on his second Hajj. So he was on the journey of the Haramain Sharifain in the year 1334. And it's mentioned that whilst he was traveling towards the blessed lands of Makkah al-Mukarramah, Madinah al-Munawwarah, he was writing this kalam.
SubhanAllah. So, we can talk with Rukneshwara as well, alhamdulillah. I understand Rukneshwara, if Allah Ta'ala wills, shall be traveling on Hajj this year as well. So if Rukneshwara is still with us, Huzoor, if you can give us some Madani pearls regarding this kalam as well, the meaning behind it, the atmosphere in which Allah Hazrat wrote this kalam.
SubhanAllah.
atmosphere we feel also whenever we go to Medina, and if we are on the way, if we listen this kalam or we recite this kalam, to aaj bhi wo essence aur wo jisko kehna chashni nazar aati hai aur ek aashiq e rasool ke dil ki kaliyan khil jati hain, to phir ala hazrat ne kya likha hoga. Kamal ye hai imam e ahle sunnat ka ke wo aaj bhi teach kar rahe hain, aaj bhi ishq e rasool sikha rahe hain apne mazar ke andar rehkar apne kalamon ke zariye. कि क्या खूबसूरत स्टाइल है कि मदीने शरीफ तो जा रहे हैं लेकिन अपने दिल की कैफियत क्या होनी चाहिए. अब ये जरा अल्फाज पर अगर गौर करें कि शुक्रे खुदा के आज घड़ी उस सफर की है जिस पर निसार जान फला हो जफर की है, कलियां खिली दिलों की हवा ये किधर की है ना, डालें भरी भरी हैं तो हाल. अभी आप आगे पढ़ेंगे वो अशार और सुनेंगे कि वो एक बड़ा सीक्वेंस है कि जैसे जैसे मदीना शरीफ करीब आएगा तो आला हजरत का जो अंदाज है वो बदलता जाएगा. कहीं कहीं वो ये समझा रहे होंगे कि मेराज का समा है, कहाँ पहुंचे जायरों, कुर्सी से ऊंची कुर्सी इसी पाक दर की है. कभी समझाएंगे हाँ हाँ रहे मदीना है, गाफिल जरा तो जाग, ओ पांव रखने वाले ये जा चश्मो सर की है. इस नात के सारे ये शार बहुत खूबसूरत हैं, मगर एक शेर से मुझे खास बड़ी अटैचमेंट है वसीम भाई, एंड बिकॉज ऑफ दैट कि वो बहुत प्यारी बात की आला हजरत ने. कमाल एक एक थिंकिंग है, एक कमाल जो है ना उसके पीछे एक यू समझिए सोच नजर आती है कि व्हेन वी स्टार्ट ट्रेवल फ्रॉम मक्कतुल मुकर्रमा टुवर्ड्स मदीना और एनीवेयर फ्रॉम द मदीना टुवर्ड्स द मदीनतुल मुनव्वरा एंड ऑब्वियसली वी आर ऑन द रोड, व्हेन वी सी दैट रोड और उस रोड पे जब बोर्ड आ रहे होते हैं कि मदीना मुनव्वरा इतना किलोमीटर बाकी है, तो आला हजरत लिखते हैं वारू कदम कदम पे कि हर दम है जाने नौ. ऑन ईच एंड एवरी स्टेप एक नई जान, एक नया तरंग, एक नई उमंग जो है वो बढ़ती जा रही है. वारू कदम कदम पे हर दम है जाने नौ, ये राह जाफिजा मेरे मौला के दर की है. यानी उस रास्ते को जिस प्यारे अंदाज में बयान किया कि रास्ता जा किधर रहा है, ये रास्ता मेरे आका के दर पे जा रहा है, इस रास्ते के हर कदम पर अपनी जान वार दूं, निछावर कर दूं. सुभान अल्लाह, ब्यूटीफुल सिलेक्शन एंड ब्यूटीफुल कलाम, एंड इंशाल्लाह अब इंग्लिश में हमारे मुबीन भाई और मदनी फूल देंगे और हम भी इंशाल्लाह अपने नातखों इस्लाम भाई से सुनते जाएंगे और तसव्वुर मदीना में खोते जाएंगे.
जज़ाकअल्लाह, जज़ाकअल्लाह जी मुबीन भाई.
सीधी आला हज़रत रज़ियल्लाहु अन्हु सेइंग शुक्र खुदा के आज करी उस सफर की है. He's giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that finally today the moment has come for that journey.
That journey.
The journey to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That journey which he describes as not only being a journey of victory, not only being a journey of falah and zafar, meaning success and victory, but actually being the jaan, the life of victory, the life of success itself. So this is that journey, the journey
the
of...
The ultimate success, the pinnacle of success. You could
success
say.
Lies at the feet of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like you said, it's not just success that he's saying, it's not just the journey of success, this is the journey of the life of success itself.
Yeah, but subhanallah, subhanallah.
Mujrim bulaye aaye hai, jao kahe gawaah. Mujrim bulaye aaye hai, jao kahe gawaah. कब ये शान करीमों के दर की है, फिर रद हो कब ये शान करीमों के दर की है, फिर रद हो कब ये शान करीमों के दर की है.
Beautiful indication in this this shir, in this particular shir,
there's an indication towards the verse of the Holy Quran.
Subhanallah.
And the verse of the Holy Quran
is in the Kalam of Allah Hazrat.
Yeah, this is one of the amazing aspects of the Kalam of Allah Hazrat. In Arabic eloquence, this is called iqtibas.
MashaAllah.
Quoting an aspect or a portion of a hadith or a verse of the Holy Quran in one's poetry.
MashaAllah.
And Sayyidi Allah Hazrat, radiallahu anhu, you can find this throughout his Kalam. And this shows that he was not just a poet like other worldly poets, who talk without reference, without proof. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu anhu does not only, not only is his kalam, not only is the praise that he is giving of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam solidly based on the Quran and Hadith, he's actually quoting parts of the Quran itself in the couplets. So here the word Ja'uka, which we just heard, this is actually a part of the verse of the Holy Quran. This is Surah An-Nisa, verse number 64, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ولو أنهم إذ ظلموا أنفسهم جاءوك فاستغفروا الله واستغفر لهم الرسول لوجدوا الله توابا رحيما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse of the Holy Quran, to which Allah Hazrat is referring to in this particular couplet, and if when they had wronged themselves, when they had committed sins, when they had gone against themselves and wronged themselves by committing sins, if when they had done this, they had come to you, جَاءُكَ, if they came to you, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ, and asked forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ, and the messenger asked forgiveness from Allah on their behalf, لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا, they would surely find Allah Almighty as the most accepting of repentance and the most merciful.
Subhanallah.
Here Allah Almighty is teaching the believers in this verse of the Holy Quran the method of gaining acceptance of our repentance, the method of gaining forgiveness for our sins. What is that method?
To the court of the Prophet.
There's three steps in this verse. First of all, when a person has wronged themselves, committed sins, oppressed their own souls, Allah Almighty is saying, جَاءُكَ, go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَاسْتَغْفَرُ اللَّهُ, and ask Allah Almighty for forgiveness. Do istighfar in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ, and the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should seek forgiveness for the sins of that person from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When these three things are done, going to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking forgiveness ourselves, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking forgiveness for us, then we will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the most accepting of repentance and the most merciful.
Kab ye shaan kareemon ki dar ki hai. If Rukneshwar are still with us, it would be amazing to take some madni flowers from them as well regarding this particular share, or generally regarding the mawzu of zikr-e-Madina, hazri-e-Madina.
Ala Hazrat ne isi khayal ko ek aur bade pyare andaaz mein bayan kiya na, wahi rab hai jisne tujhko hamatan karam banaya, hame bheek mangne ko tera aasta dikhaya, tera aasta bataya, tujhe hamd hai khudaya, tujhe hamd hai khudaya. Ye nabi pak alaihi salatu wasalam ke dar ka rasta to hame rab ne bataya. Aur ye is ayat ke tehat aur is khoobsurat couplet mein jo hame sikhaya ja raha hai ke mujrim bulaye aaye hain, jao ka hai gawah. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hum khud nahi aaye, hame Quran ne kaha hai ke jo apni jano par zulm kar baitho to mehboob ke dar par aa jao. Aur jo Mubin bhai ne baat ki ke teen isme conditions ayat e Quran mein hai ke pehle nabi pak ke roze par hazir ho jaye, fir Allah ki bargah mein tauba kare. Ye do kaam to mere aur aapke haath mein hai na, لیکن تیسرا کام, یعنی تیسرا جو پوائنٹ ہے وہ یہ ہے کہ نبی پاک علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام سفارش کریں, رب کی بارگاہ میں ہمارے لیے مغفرت چاہیں, استغفار کریں. تو یہ تو نبی پاک علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی مرضی ہے کہ کریں یا نہ کریں. تو اعلیٰ حضرت اس دوسرے کپلٹ میں دلاسہ دے رہے ہیں کہ دیکھو تم نے اپنا کام کر دیا ہے, مجرم بلائے آئے ہیں, جاؤ کا ہے گواہ, پھر رد ہو کب یہ شان, کریموں کے در کی ہے. اب آقا بھی خالی نہیں لوٹائیں گے, ہم نے اپنا کام کر دیا, وہ تو کریم ہیں, اب جب بلایا ہے تو خالی ہاتھ نہیں لوٹائیں گے. نبی پاک علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کا دربار تو وہ ہے نا, وہ شاعر لکھتے ہیں کہ یہ دربار محمد ہے, یہاں اپنوں کا کیا کہنا, یہاں سے ہاتھ خالی غیر بھی جایا نہیں کرتے. تو جب بلایا ہے تو یہ پھر رد ہو کب یہ شان, کریموں کے در کی ہے. انشاءاللہ ضرور کرم ہوگا.
MashaAllah.
The other thing we're seeing by about this verse is that this particular verse is mutlaq, is unrestricted to any particular time period. And from this verse we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still aware of the actions of the ummatis, those who come into his court. And we know from this that when we come into the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even today, he still seeks forgiveness for us. So from this verse we also learn about our belief regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being alive, being aware, being having knowledge of our actions and seeking forgiveness for us, as is proven from this particular verse of the Holy Quran itself. And like Quran Shura just mentioned, the couplet of Ala Hazrat in the light of this verse of the Holy Quran is telling us that those who have sinned and they come to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeking forgiveness, these people haven't come of their own accord. Mujrim bulaye aaye hain, they have been called. It's not the habit, it's not the manner of anybody generous to call somebody to their court and then not give them any gifts, not bestow mercy upon them.
MashaAllah, we're getting loads of messages from brothers from our views of Madinah channel. I apologize if I've not been able to read them before. Brother has texted to say, a very beautiful silsila, increasing our love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is our intention. May Allah Ta'ala accept our intentions as well. He's made a request for a kalam, zarre jar kar teri pezaron ke. Another brother has texted in with the answer to this. Lots of questions and answers for today's question, alhamdulillah. Brother, I'm just going to mention one more text. Muhammad Imran Attari from Cape Town in South Africa, mashallah. Congratulations on the silsila. loving the beloved. We get many Madani flowers from this silsila. Please request the Honorable Nazri Sahib to recite a few verses of Lam Yati Naziru Kafi Nazarin. Imran Bhai, inshallah, Azawajal, that kalam we're going to discuss in detail in one of our coming silsila. So you'll have to stay tuned next week and the week after to see when we discuss that one, inshallah. Yeah.
So one beautiful point about the verse that is indicated towards in this couplet. That the scholars, they say when somebody goes and to the court of the Prophet and they want to ask for forgiveness, before that it is actually mustahab and desirable to recite this verse. So this is a Madani pearl for those viewers of the Madani channel that are going to be going.
Mashallah.
And they present themselves there, inshallah, try to recite this verse and then ask for forgiveness, inshallah.
Mawla Ali ne wari teri neend par namaz, Mawla Ali ne wari teri neend par namaz, aur wo bhi asr sabse jo aala khatar ki hai, aur wo bhi asr sabse jo aala khatar ki hai.
Mashallah, jee
Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Beautiful couplet again and again. In this couplet, Sayyidi Al-Hazrat radiallahu anhu is indicating towards an entire account, an entire incident, an entire miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
I'm going to ask you to summarize Mubeen, but the time is very short.
Yeah, of course. It's a famous story, which many of the viewers will know, that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had performed his Asr Salah, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu for some reason hadn't yet performed his Asr Salah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rested in the lap of Sayyidina Ali, and Sayyidina Ali was watching the sun go down. And as he was watching the sun go down, he realized that the time of his Asr prayer was also going. So obviously when the sun set, he had missed his Asr Salah, but he had missed it in the obedience of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not wanting the blessed rest of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be disturbed. And in this blessed couplet, Sayyidi Al-Hazrat radiallahu anhu is saying that Mawla Ali Nivari, he named upon namaz. Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu sacrificed even his prayer upon your rest,
yeah,
upon your blessed sleep. Or wo bhi asr sabse jo ala khatar ki hai. And that too, the prayer of asr, which is of the most importance. In the Holy Quran, Allah Almighty says, preserve or protect your prayers, especially the middle prayer. And in Mufassireen, they say that the middle prayer refers to the prayer of asr.
Ala Hazrat ka ek andaaz hai, ek khoobsurat style hai ki aap ishare ke andar hi puri baat bayan kar dete hain, hadith bayan kar dete hain, pura incident bayan kar dete hain. جیسے کہ انہوں نے کہا کہ مولا علی نے واری تیری نیند پر نماز اور وہ بھی اثر سب سے جو اعلیٰ خطر کی ہے صدیق بلکہ غار میں جان ان پہ دے چکے اور حفظ جان تو جان فروز غرر کی ہے ہاں تو نے انہیں جان انہیں پھیر دی نماز پر وہ تو کر چکے جو کرنی بشر کی ہے پھر آگے فرماتے ہیں کہ ثابت ہوا کہ جملہ فرائض فروع ہیں اصل الاصول بندگی اس تاجور کی ہے. ان چاروں شعر پر تو پورا سلسلہ ہو سکتا ہے, لیکن اگر مختصر الفاظ میں بیان کیا جائے کہ اعلیٰ حضرت نے دو عظیم معجزات کا تذکرہ کیا کہ ایک بار مولا علی نے نماز اپنی جو ہے وہ پیارے آقا کی نیند پر قربان کی, اور مشہور واقعہ ہے کہ صدیق اکبر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ نے جب غار ثور میں نبی پاک ہجرت مدینہ, آپ مائگریشن کی بات کر رہے ہیں, ایک مائگریشن آف مدینہ تھی, جب مولا علی کا پیارے حضرت ابوبکر صدیق رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ نے سانپ نے کاٹا تھا, اپنی جان کی پرواہ نہ کی, نبی پاک کی نیند پر گویا جان قربان کر دی. ویری بیوٹیفل کوشچن, مطلب علماء خود ہی ریس کرتے ہیں, خود ہی آنسر دیتے ہیں کہ جان بچانا بھی فرض ہے, نماز پڑھنا بھی فرض ہے. ایک طرف مولا علی ہیں, ایک طرف صدیق اکبر ہیں, تو بگیسٹ علماء ہیں اپنے دور کے, یعنی ان سے زیادہ علم دین کون جانتا تھا, ان سے زیادہ شریعت کون جانتا تھا. دونوں نے فرض قربان کر دیے پیارے آقا کے آرام پر. اعلیٰ حضرت کی دونوں باتیں کرنے کے بعد کمال اس کا فارمولا نکال کے بتاتے ہیں کہ ثابت کیا ہوتا ہے, کلیریفائی کیا ہوتا ہے, کہ سارے فرائض فروع ہیں, وہ آرڈنری ہیں. جو سب سے پریمیئر چیز ہے, امپورٹنٹ چیز یہ ہے کہ نبی پاک علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام راضی ہو جائیں. اصل الاصول بندگی اس تاجور کی ہے, اگر یہ آقا راضی ہو گئے تو رب بھی راضی ہو جائے گا, کیونکہ نماز بھی تو نبی پاک علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کے صدقے ملی ہے نا. تو ان دونوں صحابہ کا یہ بیوٹیفل جو یوں سمجھیے عمل ہے, یہ ہمیں سکھا رہا ہے کہ نبی پاک کا عشق کتنا ضروری ہے, نبی پاک کی رضا کتنی ضروری ہے. ساری زندگی کوئی سجدے کرتا رہے اور نبی پاک ہی اس سے راضی نہ ہو, ساری زندگی عبادتیں کرتا رہے اور آقا سے سچی محبت نہ ہو, تو یہ عبادتیں بالکل کام کی نہیں ہیں. عبادتیں قبول ہی جب ہونی ہیں جب سرکار علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی رضا شامل ہوگی. اور سبحان اللہ, یہ دو عظیم معجزات بھی ہیں میرے آقا کے کہ ایک کی جان لوٹا رہے ہیں, ایک کو دعا کر کے سورج پلٹا کر نماز لوٹا رہے ہیں. پر وہ تو کر چکے جو کرنی بشر کی ہے.
Before you leave, Huzoor, if you can just request dua from yourself as well for all the brothers here, the viewers of Madni Channel in the UK, in these English speaking countries. As you know, one of our brothers, his father is not well.
میں بہت اچھا آپ نے یاد دلایا, خالد بھائی ہمارے نگرانے کابینات ہیں اور ہمارے موسٹ سینئر اسلامی بھائی ہیں یو کے, اور ان کے والد صاحب بہت سیریس ہیں. امیر اہل سنت نے بھی ان کے لیے دعا فرمائی. ہم سب دعا کرتے ہیں کہ اللہ کریم انہیں شفا کاملہ عاجل عطا فرمائے. مدنی چینل کے تمام ناظرین بھی ان کے لیے دعا کریں کہ اللہ ہمارے خالد بھائی کے والد گرامی کو شفا کاملہ عاجل عطا فرما, اور جتنے اس وقت مدنی چینل کے ناظرین خود بیمار ہیں یا ان کے گھر میں کوئی بیمار ہے یا شافی الامراض, اپنے کرم سے تمام مریضوں کو شفا کاملہ عاجل عطا فرما. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کے امراض کو بھی دور فرما, اور ہمیں نبی پاک علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام سے سچا عشق عطا فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی واصحاب اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. خصوصا دعا کرنے کے یا اللہ ہمارے شیخ طریقت امیر اہل سنت کو صحت یابی عطا فرما, درازی عمر بالخیر عطا فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی واصحاب اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. جزاک اللہ خیرا فی الدارین. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ.
وعلیکم السلام ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. Alhamdulillah, beautiful surprise for us as well. MashaAllah, taking Madni Pearls of Rukne Shura. And you know, one thing, we were recently, Rukne Shura was in the UK and we were talking that, MashaAllah, they know a lot of Kalam, you know, and it's like on the top of the head. And we did ask them that, how did, Alhamdulillah, you have such knowledge? And he mentioned one of the reasons was the blessings of Dawat Islam. And Mubeen Bhai and all of our brothers would identify with this, that, you know, where did we know the Kalam of Allah Hazrat and its meaning? This shauk and this jazba comes through Dawat Islam, Alhamdulillah.
Yes,
and I would give message to our viewers of Madni Channel, that look how much enjoyment there is in learning this Kalam, and how much beauty there is in the meanings of this Kalam. Alhamdulillah, this is the blessings of Dawat Islam, that we're sat here on a Friday evening talking about Kalam-e-Ala Hazrat, the meanings of that, the ishq of the Sahaba, the Qurbani of the Sahaba. Alhamdulillah, this is all Faizan-e-Madni Channel. And I would say to you that to continue receiving these Madni Pearls, inshallah, stay tuned to many of the silsilas on Madni Channel. Mubeen Bhai, just summarize the last few ishaada we just had for us, please.
Rukni Shura just explained to us in Urdu, just a quick summary to reiterate in English. Obviously, the first Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Dilon here is proving a conclusion. Before proving that conclusion, he's bringing his proofs. So the proof is that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, when he was sacrificed, his prayer, which was fard, for the rest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then moving on, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who is the leader of all Sahaba kiram alayhim ridwan, the first Khalifa, the representative of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sacrificed his life and hifz-e jaan to jaan for ruze ghurr ki hai.
This is reference to the incident in the cave.
In the cave, yeah. And protecting one's life is also a fard in Islam.
Mm.
Protecting one's life is also an obligatory action in Islam. But Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he was in the cave of Thawr on the night of the migration, he placed his blessed foot into the hole that was remaining, which he wasn't able to cover up with his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And he allowed the snake to bite his foot, so that the snake wouldn't come and harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what did he do? He sacrificed his own life.
Because he was putting his life at threat, basically.
He was putting his life at threat for the rest of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, then the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the way he bestowed his grace upon both of the blessed Sahaba, for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he returned the sun back after it had set, so that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu could praise Asr Salah. And for Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his blessed saliva on his foot, and he was able, he recovered from that snake bite, and obviously his life was saved. And then Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, after relating this, he says, ثابت ہوا کہ جملہ فرائض فروع ہیں. He says that when you look at all of the obligatory aspects of Islam, which is the greatest, which act in Islam holds the greatest status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that praying salah is fard, protecting your life is fard, but those Sahaba kiram alayhim ridwan, who understood Islam
better,
more than anybody else,
Ji,
those Sahaba kiram, they sacrificed their prayer for the rest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the obedience, the comfort of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those Sahaba kiram, they sacrificed their life for the comfort and the rest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is this proof? ثابت ہوا کہ جملہ فرائض فروع ہیں اصل الاصول بندگی استاد ورگی ہے. This proves that prayer is important, no doubt. Prayer is fard. Saving our life, protecting our life is fard. This is important, no doubt.
Yes.
But the essence of all of these faraid, the essence of Islam is obedience, love and respect of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything else is secondary to this particular thing. If we are successful in being obedient to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in passing the test of love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then everything else that we do in Islam will be accepted.
And give us a quick flavor of the maqta. Aakuch suna de ishq ke bolon mein aaya.
Subhanallah. So like I said at the beginning, this kalam was written on the journey to Madinatul Munawwarah in the second Hajj of Sayyidi Al-Hazrat. And this was that particular Hajj where Sayyidi Al-Hazrat radiallahu anhu traveled, and eventually this was that Hajj when Sayyidi Al-Hazrat radiallahu anhu was blessed with the vision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a wakeful state. Mm-hmm. And the whole kalam and the whole story behind that, which inshallah we can cover in another kalam for another day inshallah. But in this particular couplet, Sayyidi Al-Hazrat radiallahu anhu is reflecting upon the na'at that he just wrote, shukr-e khuda ki aaj kari us safar ki hai. This was written in an ilmi style. Mm. This was written in a style based on knowledge, based on verses of the Quran, a hadith, based on proving certain beliefs of the Ahlul Sunnah. And at the end of this, Sayyidi Al-Hazrat radiallahu anhu is now addressing himself, addressing his own nature, a nature which is filled with love and passion for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he's saying, now, after this qasida in which you have listed these couplets in the style of knowledge, in the style of ilm, a kuch suna de ishq ke bolo mein ae Raza. Now, O Raza, come and change your style. Come away from the style of the Quran, the knowledge-based aspect, and come into the style of, you could say, the soul of spirituality, the realm of love, the realm of passion and devotion. A kuch suna de ishq ke bolo mein ae Raza, mushtaq tab'a lazzate soze jigar ki hai. He's saying that the desire for passion and the desire for love is now yearning for you to come and bring kalam describing the beauty of Medina, describing the journey, describing the blessed dust, describing the Kaaba, describing the Zamzam, describing the blessed garden of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
The good news for the viewers of Madni channel is, inshallah, if you join us next week's silsila, then this, you could say, the latter part of this kalam, it's a separate kalam, on the same pattern, on the same scale.
Al-Hazrat radiallahu anhu then wrote a second kalam in the style of ishq.
We could say in the rang, in the color of ishq, inshallah. And that is beautiful in itself as well. You know, that is an amazing meaning to be derived from that. Inshallah, we're going to study that one next week. And our brothers will be here for you next week as well, inshallah. We'll go through that one. So that's something for you to look forward to. And again, all of this is relevant to the time of year that we're in. Time is very, very short, and we've got our third segment that we need to complete before we finish today as well. So we're now going to move towards our third segment for today. And our third segment is Hadith of the Week.
Allah, increase our love to the Prophet.
MashaAllah. My dear Islamic brothers, our third and final segment for today is Hadith of the Week. Alhamdulillah, within this segment, every single week we bring for you a narration from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Short, concise, something that we can hopefully learn the Arabic off by heart as well, but also learn what is meant by this and what we are being educated about as well. Mubeen Bhai, what do you have for us today?
Okay, in today's hadith, hadith reported in Sahih al-Bukhari, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, As-sabru inda sadamati al-ula. As-sabru inda sadamati al-ula. As-sabru inda sadamati al-ula. Which means that true patience is at the first strike of a calamity. These are the blessed words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that true patience is at the first strike of a calamity.
Inshallah.
In the explanation of this hadith, Imam al-Nawawi, the great muhaddith, he has mentioned that
these are those great scholars who comment upon the hadith.
Who comment upon the hadith and explain the hadith for us.
For us, yeah.
And explain the prophetic wisdom, the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us. He says that what this hadith means is that when a person is afflicted with a difficulty, after time, a person automatically becomes patient.
Mm.
But the true reward and the true patience that a person will show, upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow the greatest amount of ajr and reward, is that patience which is shown when that calamity first strikes. So he says what's meant here is a sabr al-kamil, meaning perfect and complete patience.
So sabr at the time of the calamity.
Yeah, so obviously a person who remembers the calamity later, who might not express patience at the beginning, but later on shows patience, that is patience too.
Mm-hmm.
But here this hadith is talking about true and perfect patience.
Mm.
What is true patience? What is perfect? Kamil patience. Kamil or perfect patience is that patience which a person shows when the calamity first strikes. Mm. Because that's the most difficult time, and that's the time when a person gains
the reward. We're going to open the topic to our general discussion regarding patience in Islam and sabr. I guess sadly, in contrast to what we're being advised, we normally talk about patients before the event, and we talk about it after the event. Sadly, we don't have any during the event.
I think patients, if we're not patient, then it eventually leads to anger.
Mm.
Now, obviously, anger has its own peril. That, you know, there are obviously the downsides that are the dangers of anger have been mentioned. For example, one summary of a narration that when a person is angry, he's like a puppet to the shaitan, to this, in the sense that just like a group of kids, when they chuck a ball around, they chuck it in any direction they want. The same way the person, the shaitan, chucks him around and turns him around in the same way.
Mm.
So he, in that, at that point. And then on the other hand, if we look at the, when we are angry and then remain patient and calm at those time, moments in the booklet, Cure for Anger, published by Maqdoor in Medina, in there it is stated that a person's wife put too much salt in his food. Obviously, when he tasted it, he became angry and he didn't like it. But bringing this thought into his mind that I make a lot of mistakes, and if I don't forgive my wife for having done this, having put too much salt into my food today, what if Allah Azza wa Jal punishes me for one of my mistakes? And this thought came to his mind, and after his passing away, somebody saw him in his dream, and he asked him how Allah Azza wa Jal had dealt with him, and he said, Allah Azza wa Jal has forgiven me just because I was kind to my wife. Allah Azza wa Jal said that you showed kindness to my slave. So for that reason, he was forgiven. So we've got both the sides in a summary in front of us.
Musima, the reason why true patience has been described as at the first strike of the calamity, when the calamity, the difficulties first faced, is because this is the time when sabr or patience is most difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know in our deen, the more difficult any action is, the more rewarding it is as well. And you know, somebody might ask the question that when a calamity comes, when a difficulty comes upon us, you know, somebody in the family passes away, somebody suffers a loss in business, somebody's burgled at home, etc. You can list the types of difficulties that people face. How can we show patience straight away? You know, there's a shock that we feel, and it's very difficult to show patience. And one piece of advice, which I believe will help the viewers of Madinah and ourselves as well, inshallah, when we face any difficulties, is if we just remember one statement of the Holy Quran. Allah Almighty says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah Almighty is with those who are patient. So whenever we face any difficulty, if we remember, if we don't show patience, if we, rather than showing patience, we're ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'azallah, we complain in the court of Allah azza wa jal, then whatever we've lost, whatever difficulty we're facing, will not become easy for us. Who is the one?
Anything, it makes no difference whatsoever. And you know, Amira has given some examples. You're stuck in a traffic jam, and you're blasting the horn, being impatient. Blasting the horn is not going to make the traffic go any quicker. If anything, it'll probably make it worse.
The guy
who's in front of you is going to get annoyed with you. He's going to think, well, I'm going to take my time now. Yeah. And similarly, you know, when somebody's died, you know, extreme levels of crying and, you know, beating yourself up on all this kind of stuff, that's not going to make the person come back.
Of course.
And so we, all of these things that we do of, you know, basabri and impatience, rather than making the situation better or relieving the situation, they don't help it. In fact, sometimes they make it worse.
And I think if we reflect upon, you know, who is the one who is going to make that difficulty easier for us?
Mm.
Who is the one who is going to give us the ability to bear that difficulty and get us through? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it?
Yes.
And Allah Almighty Himself is declaring that Allah is with those who are patient.
Just being impatient is either going to worsen the situation, or at the very least, it's not going to better it in any way. But at the same time, because you're being impatient, you're losing out on the reward that you would have obtained for being patient.
Mm-hmm.
So even if your impatience doesn't make the situation any worse, but you're still endangering yourself and you know, putting yourself in a situation where you might lose out on the reward that you could have obtained.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a loss in itself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. My dear Sahib brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, our time is nearly up. Inshallah, we're going to be here with you again next week. With the same silsila, loving the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with a brand new three segments. One segment talking about the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a beautiful aspect of that seerah, the most beautiful story. We'll have another kalam, and we're going to try to go behind the kalam, as it were, try to understand some of the meaning. And also we're going to have another hadith of the week. So today we learnt about sabr, about patience. Last week we learnt about modesty. you know, these very, very small couplets, or you could say even a couple of words together, which within them hold a whole ocean of wisdom for us. Things that will help us on a daily basis. Inshallah, next week we'll be back with one of them again as well. Before we finish, alhamdulillah, we had a question for today, which is which daughter, blessed daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, took part in that migration to Abyssinia? And the answer is Mubeen Bhai.
The answer is Sayyidatuna Ruqayya radiallahu anha.
MashaAllah. The daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who took part in that migration. Lots of us got the correct answer, MashaAllah. Lots of viewers, some of them got the wrong answer first, and then they text in to correct the answer as well, MashaAllah. The correct answer is the correct answer, alhamdulillah. From all of those who gave the correct answer, the winner today is Binte Nazir from Leicester. So Binte Nazir from Leicester has won a £12 voucher from Maktaba Tul Madina to purchase books, etc. Inshallah Azawajal, until next time, until next Friday, remember us in your prayers. We make dua that Allah Azawajal blesses all the views of Madani channel. May Allah Ta'ala remove our difficulties. If there are people unwell in our families, may Allah Ta'ala give them shifa, grant them shifa kamila, and may Allah Azawajal, like we've been talking about in this silsila, make us true devotees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we don't, not just by tongue but by our action, we become true ashikani rasul. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ameen. Bi jahin nabiyil ameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al habib
sallallahu ta'ala ala
muhammad. Increase our love, increase our love to the Prophet. Increase our love to the Prophet.